I was sitting there listening to the choir and listening to you sing, and you know, it's just a wonderful thing to sing the old-time gospel songs and to hear God's Word. There's coming a day when you will not have that opportunity, and the time will be past, you'll not have it, you'll not be able to hear the gospel or sing these old songs, and many of you will wish you did. But then, as we reminded a moment ago, it'll be too late. I'm going to ask that we turn to the first epistle of Peter, chapter 1, this evening. 1 Peter, chapter 1. And we'll pick up our reading in verse 18. 1 Peter, chapter 1. This is one of those many times you'll find the word no. You see, the Christian faith is not a feel-so salvation. A lot of people depend on feelings. Praise God, it's faith. A lot of people depend upon, they suppose so. They think so. They guess so. But we have a no-so salvation. And this is what Peter says, for as much as you know, that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold from your vain conversation, that is your way of life, your vain way of life, received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish, without spot, who was verily foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God, seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren. See that you love one another with a pure heart, fervently being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. May God bless his word, verses 18 and 19. In fact, verse 19 will be our text for this evening. The precious blood of Christ. The blood of Christ. The fact that man is a sinner is clearly taught in the Scriptures. You go to the book of Genesis and you go to the third chapter, and there you see the entrance of sin into the world. You see the Bible, what the Bible says in Romans 5 and 12, wherefore as by one man sin entered the world, and death by sin. So death has passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. When Adam and Eve sinned, Eve was the one that was deceived, but when you follow the context of Scripture, Adam deliberately partook of that fruit, and so God rested the responsibility for the entrance of sin upon Adam. Wherefore, as by one man, sin entered the world, and death by sin. So death has passed upon all men, as says the text of Romans 5 and 12. And immediately when we see God coming down in the cool of the evening, to commune with Adam and Eve. You know, they had a privilege. They had a blessed privilege that nobody else has experienced, not in that way. You and I commune with the Lord, but the Lord would come and commune with them and would talk with them and would share with them in that magnificent, beautiful garden that he had created for them. But then sin came. And for the first time, when they heard the voice of the Lord God calling, they hid. Why had they hidden? Because they knew that they had disobeyed the Lord. They knew that they had sinned. And from that moment on, man has been running away from God. To this point, he could come and he could commune and he could talk and he could fellowship with the God of the universe. But from that moment on, he was running away. He was hiding. God rejected the fig leaf coverings that they made, and he clothed them with the skins of animals. In order for the animal skins to clothe them, the animal had to die. The blood had to be shed. And from the book of Genesis to the book of the Revelation, there is a red river that flows through the Bible. It is blood. Now, I hear preachers today, some modernistic preachers are saying, you should not be preaching on the blood. That's old-fashioned. That's something that is outmoded. It sounds too gruesome. It sounds too horrible. Preach something pleasant. My friend, without the blood of Jesus Christ, the Scripture says, there is no remission for sin. When I was in England some years ago, I was visiting with a brother, and he brought me a new hymn book that had just been published. He says, I want you to take a little while we're waiting for the meal. Take a while and look through this book and see. Just give me your idea of what you think this hymn book is about. Well, you know, one of the easiest ways to find out about a hymn book is to go to the index at the back. And most hymn books, they have the categories in the back of it. The newer ones do. And so the first thing I looked for was hymns on the blood. There's a fountain filled with blood, William Cowper's famous hymn. It was not there. What can wash away my stain? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. It was not there. And a few others. I looked at a few other hymns on the cross and so on, and they were not there either. If they were, they were pushed away somewhere in a corner. So after a while, he said, what do you think of it? I said, I don't think anything of it. He says, neither did I. He said, but you see, this book has been published by a group of people who want to take offense out of the gospel. I said, well, when you take the hymns on the blood out, you don't have anything left. Or on the cross. They've come up with another new hymn book, and now this one they're saying there must be no hymns such as Onward Christian Soldiers and Stand Up for Jesus. If you listen to man, you'll soon have something that has nothing. And in fact, there is nothing. But the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ is a theme that runs through the Scriptures from the types in the Old Testament to His coming and to His dying on the cross. It is His precious blood that brings salvation. When John the Baptist introduced the Lord Jesus Christ, he introduced Him as the Lamb of God. He said, behold, the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world. A brother this morning in the remembrance meeting read what Pilate had to say. Pilate introduced the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, behold the man and behold your king. But John the Baptist knew that the Lord Jesus Christ had come for a purpose, and he said, behold the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world. And on the cross, the Lord Jesus Christ shed His precious blood. Now, Peter tells us, we are not redeemed with corruptible things, but with the precious blood of Christ. How could the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ redeem man? Well, first of all, because it was pure blood. You see, the blood of human beings, is stained, is tainted. It is tainted by sin. We come into the world by the physical birth, by the natural birth, and because of this, we are all tainted. Our blood is tainted by sin. We have a nature that is sinful, and blood of man is tainted. It is not pure. And so it was not the blood of any man that could redeem us, but the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. His blood. You go back to the Old Testament, and the Lord said to His people when He was going to redeem them from Egypt, He says, you're to take a lamb. Your lamb is to be without blemish, a male of the first year. That lamb was to have no physical disabilities in it as far as the human eye could see. Why? Because the lamb that they were to take looked forward to the Lamb of God who would shed His precious blood on the cross. They could not take a crippled or a maimed animal. It had to be blameless. It had to be without blemish. And so it is with the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, that's why we believe in the miracle of the virgin birth. For had the Lord Jesus Christ been born of a natural father and a natural mother, he could not have redeemed us because his blood would have been contaminated by sin. But praise God, he came through the miracle of the virgin birth. He came without the agency of a human father. And so his blood was pure blood. That's why the scripture says a lamb without blemish, without spot. There are those modernists and others who tell you today, they will preach and they say, oh, Jesus was the son of Joseph. My friend, if you take away the virgin birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, you take away the precious pure blood of Christ. But you see, that's why he came the way he came. The Bible tells us that he was sinless. He did not sin. He could not sin. The scripture says, in him is no sin. Neither was any guile found in his mouth. The Bible says, he did no sin. The Bible says, who knew no sin. The Bible says, in him is no sin. Even during his public ministry, he could look at those people, look at those religious leaders, and say to them, which of you convicts me of sin? Oh, they accused him, but they could not prove it. They could not prove it because what they were saying of him is not true. My friend, let me tell you something tonight. The blood of the Lord Jesus that he shed on Calvary's cross was pure blood, untainted by sin, undefiled by sin, but yours and mine is. And that's the only blood that would satisfy a thrice holy God. The Bible says in Exodus 12:13, the Lord said, and the blood shall be to you for a token, that is a sign, upon the houses where you are. He says, and when I see the blood, I will pass over you, I will hover over you. There are people today who say you can get to heaven by your good works. God never said, when I see your good works. And there were a lot of people in Egypt who were producing good works. But the Lord never said, when I see your good works, I will pass over you. There are a lot of people today who are saying, I can get to heaven because I'm a church member. The Lord never said, when I see your church membership, I will pass over you. Maybe tonight there's someone here, and you're depending on your good works, or you're depending on the things that you do. Maybe you're depending on something else. My friend, the thing that God is looking for tonight in your life is not your good works, not your baptism, not any of these things. He says, I want to see on you the blood of my Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. There are those who are teaching that you accept Christ and you are baptized to complete your salvation. We have two churches in Marsh Harbor that preach that. One, you got to do it in Jesus' name. If you don't do it in Jesus' name, you're going to bust hell wide open. The other does in the Trinitarian, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, but they both teach that you must be baptized to be saved. One day, one of these folks came around. They had a group of young people there. They came around, they were doing some house-to-house visitation. Well, I met them on the porch of my house, our house, and I knew who they were from, I knew where they were from, I knew what they wanted to say. And so, I took the offensive and I gave them the gospel. I let them know that right and then, they wanted to come to have a study. I said, well, let me tell you, before you want to come to have a study, this is what I believe the Bible teaches. And I was very clear to point out that we're redeemed with the precious blood of Christ. And one of the young ladies said, well, what about baptism? I said, young lady, you can be baptized until every fish out there in the sea knows you. Swim by and say, oh, there's so-and-so. I said, that'll never wash away your sin. It is the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and his blood alone that washes us from our sin, that cleanses us from our sin, because it's pure blood. It's not only pure blood, but Peter says it's precious blood. Why is the blood of the Lord Jesus precious? You'll notice he says there in verse 18, we are not redeemed with corruptible things such as silver and gold. What is the thing that man counts so costly and so precious, human beings count today, it's gold. They invest in gold.
they, and silver, they're precious metals. God says they are corruptible. And they're so corruptible in the sight of God that he says when you get home to glory, you're going to walk on streets of gold. But he says the blood of Jesus is precious. Now, humanly speaking, when blood is spilled, it corrupts and it disintegrates after a while. It's no more good. But God says that the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ is precious. Why? Because it's the blood of his beloved Son. It's the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. When the Lord Jesus entered into his public ministry, and when he was baptized by John the Baptizer in the River Jordan, when he came up out of the water, the Bible says the Spirit of God descended upon him in the form of a dove, and the Father speaks out of heaven and he says, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased, in whom I find all my delight." And when Peter, on the Mount of Transfiguration, dared to put the Lord Jesus on the same level as Moses and Elijah, the Father speaks again. He says, "This is my beloved Son. Hear ye him." The blood of the Lord Jesus is precious to God the Father because it's the blood shed of his own precious beloved Son. It is precious to the Lord Jesus Christ because he shed it. He gave his life, my friends, to redeem us, as the quartet was singing earlier. He gave his lifeblood to redeem you and I. It is precious to the Lord Jesus Christ. And when he was going to go to the cross, and after the Passover meal, he introduced the communion or the Lord's Supper. And he took that loaf and he broke it and he gave to the disciples and they took a part of it. He gave thanks. Then he took that cup and then he said, this cup is the New Testament or the New Covenant in my blood, which is shed for the remission of sin. And so the blood of the Lord Jesus is precious to him because he gave it to cleanse us from our sin. It is precious to you and I. You want to look some of the scriptures up? I would suggest you do this. That's why I make no apology for preaching on the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. I make no apology for preaching on the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. Call me old-fashioned, but I want to tell you it's the old-fashioned gospel that saves men. The Bible says in 1 Peter 1:18, it redeems us to God. It's the price of our redemption. You see, the Bible depicts man as being in the slave market of sin. And when a person was a slave, a redemption price had to be paid in order to redeem that person. And every person born in the world is born a sinner, and so they're in the slave market of sin. And the price that was paid to redeem us from the slave market is the precious blood of Christ. It redeems us to God. The Bible says in 1 John 1:7, it cleanses us from all sin. The blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Revelation 1:7 tells us, "Unto him who hath loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood." The Bible says it brings forgiveness. Ephesians 1:7 says, "In whom you have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sin." You ask me why I thought nothing very much of that hymn book I spoke to you about? Because you take the blood out and you take all of these things out. Amen? The Bible says in Hebrews 9:14, it brings cleansing to the conscience. Much more, the Bible tells us it shall purge your dead conscience from dead works to serve the Lord. Romans 5:9 tells us that it brings justification. Much more than being now justified by his blood, you shall be saved through him. The Bible says in Colossians 1:20, the blood brings peace. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, The Bible says that it justifies. Hebrews 13 and 12 says, wherefore then Jesus also that he might sanctify the people. It sanctifies. He sanctified the people with his own blood. He suffered without the gate. It brings sanctification. And the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ is our passport to heaven. Hallelujah. That's our passport to heaven. When we leave here to go to the United States or travel abroad, you must have a passport. No passport, no travel. My friend, if you expect to walk through the portals of glory one day, sir, if you ever expect to walk on those streets of transparent gold, if you ever expect to look into the face of the Lord Jesus Christ, you better have your passport. And it's the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hebrews 10:19 says, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus Christ. It's my passport to heaven. And I thank God I've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. You know something why it's precious to me? Because it's going to be a theme of my song in heaven and your song in heaven. Unto him, I quoted this a moment ago from Revelation 1:7, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sin. Revelation 5 tells us, and they sung a new song saying, thou art worthy to take the book, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and nation and people. Why is it precious? Because it's the only means of your redemption. I ask you, sir, have you been washed in the blood of the Lamb? You ask people in the Bahamas, you would think in this enlightened society in which we live, a place that the gospel has been preached for so many years, and where with the flick of the switch you can listen to it, you can hear it, you can watch it. But you know, there are people, you ask them, how are you going to heaven? I hope so. I think so. I want to. How do you expect to get to heaven? Well, you know, one of the favorite Bahamian expressions, I'm trying. It's not trying, my friend, it's trusting. I'm doing the best I can. That's not good enough for God. You've got to be washed in the blood of the Lamb. Have you been washed in the precious blood of Christ? It's also, thirdly, it's protective blood. I refer you to the time in Egypt, in Exodus chapter 12, the Lord said you're to take that animal. You know, here's the thought. They were to take a lamb for a house. They were to keep it from the 10th day to the 14th day of the month. On the 14th day of the month, they were to kill the animal. But that was not all they were to do with it. They were to take a basin and they were to let the blood drain into a basin from that animal, from that lamb. And I could see some of those children. You know how attached we become to creatures. Daddy, why do you have to kill the lamb? That poor little lamb, he's never done anybody anything. Son or daughter, the lamb has to be killed. The blood has to be shed. If that lamb is not killed, if that blood is not shed and it's not applied, then he would point to the eldest. And in my family, my dad's family, it would be me. And he said, unless that blood is applied, you will die. But you see, the animal not only had to be kept, it not only had to be watched, it had to die. And the Lord Jesus Christ had to die. He could not save us by his mighty miracles. He could not save us by his marvelous words, but he had to die. He had to go to that cross. Him writer puts it, there was none other good enough to pay the price of sin. He only could unlock the gate of heaven and let us in. Again, the hymn writer writes, not all the blood of beasts on Jewish altars slain could give the guilty conscience peace or take away one stain, but Christ, the heavenly Lamb, bears all our sin away, a sacrifice of nobler name and richer blood than they. Believing, we rejoice to see the curse removed. We praise the Lamb with tearful voice and sing redeeming love. Praise God tonight for the blood of Christ. Are you washed in His blood, my friend? It's protective blood. The Lord said you apply that blood, you take that hyssop, and you apply it to the doorpost and to the top of the door, to the lintel. I could see that father as he takes that bowl, that basin, and he dips that hyssop in it, and he goes over to that door, and I'm sure he splashes that blood liberally on the doorpost and on the lintel of the door. The Lord said, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. The word Passover there means I will hover over you. I will protect you. My friend, the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ is protective blood. It is the most powerful cleansing agent you'll ever find, because it cleanses us not from some sin, from all sin. Praise God. We were discussing today, I think at the lunch, when I came up or after lunch, about blood types and so on, and accidents. We came up about those who have, things allergic to. You have something, I see now they've got them, they put them on your watch, you put them on your watch, you know, you're ashamed. Now they've got to be expanded. And I said, you know, one of the things that you need to, that everybody should know really is their blood type. So if you're in an accident somewhere, they have that already typed, they can help them along. And I thought tonight, as I was preparing, going over this again, praying about this, the Lord Jesus Christ is the universal blood donor for sin. The blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. And I don't care how deep and how dark and how dyed a person may be in sin. I want to tell you tonight, upon the authority of God's Word, it will cleanse you, my friend. It is the most powerful cleansing force or agent in the world, because it cleanses man from sin. Praise God in God. But have you been washed in the blood of the Lamb? Revelation 7 and 14. The question was asked about these who would be called tribulation saints. It says, these are they which came up out of great tribulation and have washed their robes and have made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? But you see, my friend, in order for that blood to protect you, it has to be applied. They could have killed the animal, they could have put the blood in the basin, but there had came to a point in Egypt where the blood had to be put on the door. Have you ever, in your life, asked the Lord Jesus Christ to save you, to come into your life, to save you, to cleanse you from all sin? My friend, let me ask you tonight, is the blood on the door? Is the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ applied to the door of your heart, of your life? That's the important thing. That's the thing that makes a difference tonight. Has the blood been applied? Bible tells us that every house in Egypt where the blood was applied, there was salvation. The children of Israel were redeemed from Egypt because of the blood of the Lamb. My friend, you can be redeemed from your sin tonight by the blood of the Lamb, the Lord Jesus Christ. Instead of Napoleon Bonaparte, the great French general, that one day he looked at a map of England, of the British Isles, as they were referred to, and in the old maps they used to be painted red. And he pointed to those little dots there off the coast of France. He said, if it were not for those red dots, I would have conquered the world. Like the old devil, my friend, looks at the blood of Jesus. He says, if it was not for the blood of Jesus, I would have conquered the world. But I want to tell you tonight, the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ has overcome Satan. And the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ overcomes him. The Bible says, and they overcame him, that is Satan, by the blood of the Lamb. And by the word of their testimony, they loved not their life unto death in Revelation 12. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. And the thing that you must do tonight, if you've never done it, is to personally apply the blood of Jesus by faith to your heart and to your life. It'll not only cleanse you, my friend, from all sin, it'll give you a passport into heaven. It'll protect you from the judgment and the wrath of God. We are redeemed with the precious blood of Christ, says Peter, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Precious, precious blood of Jesus shed on Calvary. Shed for rebels, shed for sinners. Praise God, we can say, shed for me. Has the blood been applied? I read a tract many years ago. Maybe it's still around. But you know, a lot of the gospel tracts will have a story to it. He told the story of this town that had held out against the enemy army for a long time. They resisted. They would not give in. And finally, when they overcame them, the commander of the army was so angry that he gave an edict to his men. He said, I want you to go into that town and kill every man, woman, and child. Spare none. Now, some people would have been merciful because they resisted so long, but some people are not merciful. So they went in from one house to the other. A young man was watching this and trying to look for a way to escape. The army had the town surrounded. He noticed that when the soldiers would come out of the house, they would just splash some blood on the door. And it was a signal to the other soldiers that were coming that house, the death was there. He saw what was happening. He rushed over to the other part of town where they hadn't come yet. And he got an animal. He got a goat and he killed it. He hit it, and he carried it, and he splashed the blood on both doors of the house. He got all of his family on the inside, and all he could get in there, and everybody was quiet. And then they heard the soldiers coming. And they came up to the house, and when they saw the blood, they passed on. The blood protected them. My friend, tonight, the enemy of your soul wants to damn your soul in hell. The devil, my friend, wants to carry you into hell because he knows that's going to be his eternal destiny. And he wants to fill hell with people from Spanish Wells and from the Bahamas, where we've heard the gospel for so many years. He wants to fill hell with people. And so he's doing everything he can tonight to keep you from trusting Christ. And the only thing that will protect you, my friend, is the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Has the blood been applied? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? When I see the blood, I will pass over you, says the Lord. You wash. You wash. You wash. We are not redeemed with corruptible things.